Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, we'd like to welcome you and greet you today in the most holy name of Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. And more than anything, He is our soon-coming King. I look forward to the second advent of Christ, our Lord. Needless to say, there are those out there who believe they're going to be raptured out of here before anything happens. I was speaking with someone on the phone today, and we were talking about the rapture. I said, isn't it amazing how much money, how much ink, how much printing, how many DVDs, movies, and all of this stuff is made on supposedly the Great Tribulation and the end time world events, which have nothing at all to do with the church. How asinine is that for people to buy all of these books and they rehash everything that's ever been said for the last 120 years by Margaret MacDonald, and Scofield put that in his Bible, and the Plymouth Brethren were purveyors of such heresy. But I must admit, I preached it too because I was taught it. But now I preach the truth. Galatians 1:11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. What I now preach I did not get from a man. I got it from God, the Holy Ghost, and His most holy word. But to think of all the effort, the energy, and the time that is spent in writing and printing books and CDs and DVDs and movies and all of this, yet at the end of the day they will say, none of this is applicable to you. I find it amazing that God gave the Bible to the church, yet they take so much of the book of Daniel, so much of the book of Jeremiah, so much of the book of Isaiah, and 90% of the book of Revelation and say, you can cast all that aside. That has nothing to do with us. What heresy, what error, and yet people continue to embrace that. What a sad day it is. You know, it's like Jesus. They were struggling to believe He was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He said, at least believe me for the works' sake. The miracles that I do, raising the dead, feeding 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Believe me for those things that I do in your eyes. But still many didn't believe He was the Christ. Then after He rose from the dead, they began to make more lies. Well, the disciples stole His body and this and this and this. The truth is, He is real, His word is real. We've got to get back to the word of God. And the word of God demands a message of repentance. I'm so sick and tired of hearing preachers preach on blessing, 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 blessing. You don't have to preach blessings if you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You only preach that to shake people down for money. You don't never bother to tell 2 people cohabitating out of wedlock they're going to die and go to hell because they're fornicating every week. But you don't want to tell them that. Instead of reinforcing marriage, we are redefining marriage, and men, preachers, so-called preachers, come along and won't preach against sin. We won't say anything about adultery. We won't say anything about fornication. We won't say anything about sodomy. We won't say anything about liquor and dope. Now, you can't find the word cocaine in the Bible. You can't find the word meth in the Bible. You can't find the word heroin in the Bible. But is it wrong? Well, yes, it's wrong. Well, my Bible doesn't say that. You see, if you had the Holy Ghost, you'd have something that's called conviction. Conviction. That's what's lacking in the church today. Old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction. Most people who write us tell us we sense the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. It's not me. It's not David Lankford. One lady wrote me today and she said, I could sense the greater conviction as you were fasting and praying and teaching the book of Jonah. There was power, there was conviction in it, she said. One lady wrote me, said, I find myself weeping constantly. Why? The Holy Ghost causes people to be broken for the condition and the state of our nation. But men will not preach that. All they want to do is preach you fluff and stuff, cotton candy. I can't do that because I will stand before God Almighty. I've got to preach to you the truth. I can't afford to preach lies. My salvation, my soul is at stake. My eternity is based on my honesty and integrity and truthfulness in preaching the Word of God. Now, I know there are those who slam me and castigate me and belittle me and demean me, but those are just liars and slow bellies and bloggers, and they're not called of God. They're just venomous snakes, like the dream the Lord gave me. That's all they are. They're just snakes. They're not men of God. They're serpents. They're snakes. And you'll finally one day wake up and realize it, but I hope it's not too late. When they bite you, they poison you with venom. And it causes you to react ungodly because you've been poisoned by lies. They're just, as Paul said in Titus 1 and 12, they're liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. That's what he called them, Titus 1, verse 12. And that's what they are. And they put on a good face. They put on a good to-do. But the truth is not in them because there's no Holy Ghost conviction. That's the authentication, is the Holy Ghost conviction. That's what lets you know whether it's of God or not. And people don't admonish people to fast. These preachers don't admonish people to pray because they don't do it themselves. They don't pray themselves. They don't fast themselves. I've said it before. These hypocrites, these charlatans, can never take you any further in the Word of God or in the deep things of God because they've not been there themselves. I can't tell you about something I don't know anything of. You have to have those experiences. Paul knew what it meant to be stricken down on the road to Damascus by the Holy Ghost and to be blind for 3 days. Till the man of God prayed for him and the scales fell off of his eyes. See, Paul had these experiences. 2 Corinthians 12, he was caught up into the third heavens. Some of the things the man of God was shown, he said, are unlawful for me to speak. Well, these men can't tell you about things they've never experienced. You know, I am amazed. I am amazed at how preachers don't preach the fundamentals of God anymore. Just the fundamentals of living right. Just live right. Do right. Be righteous. Be godly. Be holy. Be sanctified. Be set apart. No. No. Like the dream I had. Oh, these snakes, they're pets. You can pet them. That's what Eve done. She petted the serpent. And he beguiled her. You cannot pet the snakes. They're evil. They're venomous. They're subtle. They're cunning. They're subtle. Jesus said in Genesis 3:1 that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. That's why you've got to watch these men who claim they are of God. They steal, they plagiarize other men's sermons and writings, but they don't practice what they preach. They don't practice what they preach. I asked a gentleman to give me a phone call before he wrote his expose, but he wouldn't call me. Now, that's a hypocrite when you ask a man to call you and he won't call you. See, that's the scriptural protocol, doing the right thing. But they won't do the right thing because they're not of God. It's not in their heart. The Holy Ghost constrains men to do right in spite of their carnal nature. There are times I don't want to do the right thing. Why? My carnal nature. But if I pray and subject myself to the word of the Lord, my carnal nature is brought into subjection. Then I become obedient to the word of God. That's why we fast and we pray. I had a man tell me the other day, he said, I don't have to pray about anything. I don't pray before I wash my hands. And I said, that's your problem. Or he said, I don't have to pray to wash my hands. Well, why did Paul say pray without ceasing? What does that mean, sir? You don't have to pray about washing your hands. I can concur with that. But what did Paul mean when he said pray without ceasing? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It means to pray about all these matters before you say or do anything, because you don't know the truth. You don't know the facts. The devil is a character at misrepresenting the facts. I don't want to be like that. I want to be truthful, because the truth of God is what sets men free. I got up this morning feeling so great in my body, my mind, and my spirit, and I just felt the preacher today. You have to be called to be a preacher to feel the preacher. And I felt the preacher today when I got up. I felt the Lord said, preach the word to the people today. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to preach then? He wanted me to preach from Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, I want to use for a simple thought today. Where is your vision? Where is your vision? People today are visionary. They see things. They want to accomplish things. They want to succeed in things. So they set goals and they set visions that they want to obtain or acquire in their lives. But what does it mean about having a vision when it comes to God, God's will, and God's word for your life? You see, a man has nothing except he receive it from God. Every one of us in the natural wants to be successful in some capacity. If you don't, you're a very slothful person. You have no goals, you have no ambition, you have no aspirations, and you're terminally ill, not having any desire or any vision or any goals. But I believe Christians feel unctionized by the Holy Ghost to accomplish certain things for the kingdom of God. I am a servant. Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. I am a servant of God. I am separated unto the gospel of God. The fact that I am separated unto the gospel of God, I have a perpetual vision of God's word and what I feel the Holy Ghost would have me to preach when it comes to the word of the Lord. Now, most of you know I preach what would be termed negative preaching in this generation and society. I'm like the prophet when the king said, he never prophesies anything good to me. He always tells me negative things. I'm simply trying to tell you the truth. You may perceive these things to be negative, but they're only negative because they're trying to correct the error that is in your life when it comes to the Word of God. You see, there's so much error in the church because men are not preaching the Word of God. This nation is in the condition that it's in because preachers will not preach the truth. You got sodomite preachers. You got lesbian preachers. Now you got transgender preachers. You got all sorts of preachers. Where are the God-called, the God-ordained, the God-anointed preachers that are to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ without compromise, no matter what people think, say, or do? I don't preach for money. Either God supplies the needs, or Pastor Lankford is done preaching. It's just that simple. You don't hear me beg for money. I'm not going to beg for money. God told me to preach the word. He would supply the need. When you see preachers shaking you down all the time for money, you need to write that guy off. You need to write that ministry off. Jesus didn't go around begging for money. Jesus didn't go around begging for money. Paul didn't go around begging for money. Yes, he did take up offerings to help other churches and to start other missionary works, but he didn't go around begging for money. Men are called to preach the gospel, the good news, that men can be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and be set free from sin and have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Where is your vision today? Preacher, where is your vision? What is your vision? Your vision should look at the fields, and they are white, and they are ready to harvest, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers to reap the fields. You'll find that in Matthew 7 and 39. We don't care about reaping souls. We care about reaping riches and money. We're just like the corporations of the world. What's the bottom line? What's the bottom dollar? I'm concerned about the souls of men. Are they going to get into the kingdom of God, or are they going to miss the kingdom of God because they have nobody preaching the truth to them? I want to be accountable in preaching the word of the Lord, because God told us in the last days, Amos 8:11, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Where is the word of God? Is the word of God being preached today? No. No. All you hear are these little fairies running around on the pulpits telling you story after story after story after story. They don't tell you anything about thus saith the Lord. Why? Because they're not called of God. They have no vision of the word of the Lord. They have no vision of hell. If men could see hell today, they would preach repentance, 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 repentance. But they won't preach it because they have no vision of hell. Every God-called, every God-ordained minister doesn't want to see any soul be lost and die and go to hell. Bert Clendenin, one of the great men of God who's dead and gone to be with the Lord, had a vision. In his vision, he saw a man running through hell, reaching down into the flames of fire, reaching down and pulling up men by the nape of their neck, by their collars, and looking into their faces and saying, "No, you're not the one," and would throw them back down into the flames. He'd run a little further, reach down and pull up another man, look at his face and say, "No, you're not the one," cast him back into the fire. This went on for minutes, and Bert Clendenin said, "God, what are you trying to show me?" God said, "Bert Clendenin, I'm showing you a man who has been lied to by a preacher, and he's going through hell trying to find the preacher that lied to him, that did not tell him the truth, did not tell him the way was straight and the way was narrow, and few there be that find it. That man was trying to find the preacher who damned his soul because he would not preach the truth of God. And regretfully, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people are sitting in churches, and they're going to slide right off the pews into hell because the preacher won't tell them if they do not repent of their sins, they're going to be lost in the time of the end. We ought to be populating heaven, but we're populating hell because we won't preach against sin anymore in this nation. I'm sick of it. Well, don't say anything to offend anybody. All right, preacher, let them die. Let them go to hell, and their blood will be on your hands. That vision I had, seeing preachers in hell, they were slinging their hands like they had just washed their hands with water, and they had nothing to dry their hands with, and they're slinging their hands trying to get the water off. And God said they got blood all over their hands, and they're trying to get that blood off of their hands because they're guilty. They're guilty of not preaching repentance and warning men there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, but they would not preach the truth, and that's one of their torments. All eternity, they're shaking their hands trying to get the blood off of their hands of the souls that lost out with God and died and went to a devil's hell. Matthew 26 and 41 is plain. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Not God's people, not mankind, but for the devil and his angels. But if you don't repent and turn from your sin, that will be your destiny as well as Satan and his angels, Jesus said. And that's the truth. There's a famine. There's a famine of the Word of God in the land today. The Bible said in Ephesians 4 and 14 that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. Can't you witness the cunning and the craftiness of these men? They're cunning, they're crafty, they're deceitful, they're liars, they're charlatans, they're pretenders. They're not the redeemed and the called of God. They're pretenders. That's all they are. That's all they've ever been. That's why he said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I know you not. In other words, I never had a relationship with you whatsoever. Oh, you claim we had a relationship, but it was on your terms. Listen, friend, your relationship with God is based on his terms, on his word, on his will, on his way, in his truth, and none of yours at all whatsoever. Isaiah 1 and 19 says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the fruit of the land. But if ye rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. We don't want to obey the word of God today. Think about what I'm saying today, folks. Think about what I'm preaching. Sodomite pastors, what in God's name is that? Lesbian pastors. Now the church in South Carolina in Greenville says we're going to ordain transgender ministers. In other words, there's no right, there's no wrong. Everything's okay with God. That's a lie straight out of hell. Everything's not okay with God. That's what they want you to believe. That's what they want you to believe. That's why they're called mega churches, mega lies, mega lies, mega lies. You find a true church today, it's a handful. It's a group of dedicated, consecrated, separated saints of God who love the Lord, who will not compromise, who will not embrace lies, who stand for the truth, because they are determined to enter into the kingdom of God and hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. See, we don't realize there's coming a day of accountability. The books are going to be opened. and every man, every woman, and every child at the age of accountability, whenever that is, I don't know, God's the righteous judge. It might be 10 years old for one child or 15 or 16 for another child. I don't know, but there's a point when God says, you are accountable for your sins. You're accountable for your sins. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 5 and 6 says this, why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refused to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Let me say something today while it's on my mind. Antonin Scalia, 4 weeks ago, made a statement. And I knew when he said it, something would happen. You may not remember what he said, but it came to my mind clear as day. He said, the United States Supreme Court justices are one justice away from the loss of the United States Constitution. In 4 weeks, the man is dead. There's no autopsy. He's found with a pillow over his face. And Mr. Barack Hussein Muslim Obama said, I'm going to fulfill my constitutional duties. Well, brother, you've been doing everything by executive order. Why do you want to go by the Constitution now? Because you want to overthrow the courts. You want to overthrow the courts to a liberal side and embrace more lies, embrace more heresy, embrace more damnation. They did not adjudicate law back a year or so ago in June. They redefined the 14th Amendment. There's no law that they adjudicated between same-sex marriage. Find that for me in the 14th Amendment. And the American people are so stupid. They're so dumbed down by these politicians and these preachers. These preachers go right along with it. I had a man say it again to me the other day. Well, the Bible says to obey the laws of the land. I said, you want to give me chapter and verse and book? Well, he said, I was told it. I said, find it. That's what, see, you're a purveyor of another law. Another lie. You are a purveyor of a lie. There is no law that says, or word that says obey the laws of the land. Nothing. It doesn't say that. That's twisting. That's twisting the scriptures, see? But that's what they've been told. Well, we've got to obey the laws of the land. Okay, so you're going to go out here and commit abortion? That's the law. Preacher, you're going to come to a place you can't preach against sin anymore. Because they're going to make a law that it's a sin to preach against, or it's against the law to preach against sin. That's what they're going to tell you. You can't preach against sin. You can't say anything about fornication. You can't say anything about adultery. You can't say anything about sodomy. You can't say anything. The Bible said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. You see, what we don't understand, these wicked judges, these wicked presidents, God has let them come to fruition because it's judgment on the land. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That's been perverted. That's been perverted. God did not mean it's okay to murder babies and then say, well, I got to help them murder them, and if I don't, then I'm going to receive the damnation. No, you're not. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Our rulers today are a terror to good works. Paul said they're not supposed to be a terror to good works, but they've become a terror to good works. They're not against evil. They're for evil. They're for lies. See? You can't obey lies. You can't obey sin. The Bible says in Isaiah 5, they would call evil good and good evil, bitter sweet, sweet bitter. Put light for darkness and darkness for light. This whole thing has become so polluted. Why? Because we're not preaching the pure word of God and rightly dividing the Holy Scriptures. Here's the problem. You're going to keep on believing lies. God help those black pastors who stood around Jezebel and prayed God's blessing on her life. I would to God they prayed so the woman get saved. See? Woman, you need to repent. Jezebel, you need to repent of your sins. The lies. We all know the woman lied. About everything she's ever done has been a lie. They won't tell her she needs to repent. They want God to bless her sins. Well, I got news for you. God don't bless sin. God may let her be the president. And I believe if he does, it's another judgment on this nation. Our answers are not going to be found in men and women. Our answers are only going to be found in God. Read your money. In God we trust. Some sheriff got in all sorts of problems because on all the sheriff patrol cars he had printed on there, "In God we trust." And they hated him for that. Brought lawsuits against him in the county he did that in. They don't want God. That's why these pre-tribbers, you wait till the persecution starts. God will not have abandoned you. God will not have left you. You'll have believed a lie. You'll have believed a lie. You don't want to believe a lie because a lie will damn your soul. And you keep on toying and playing with God. God will send you strong delusion. 2 Thessalonians 2:11, "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." What do you mean, pleasure in unrighteousness? Two sodomites, two lesbians, fornicators, having pleasure in unrighteousness. God said their souls will be damned because they believe not the truth. Now, I know that's hard. That's hard preaching, but that's the word of the Lord. That's the word of God. Oh, but that's not popular in this generation, Pastor. I'm not in a popularity contest. Well, people won't support you if you keep preaching like that. The day they quit supporting and the money dries up, that means God says, "I'm done with you, son. I've let you preach and preach and preach, and I don't let you preach anymore. I've given them all the warnings I'm going to give them." There comes a time when God says, "I'm done." Genesis 6:3 says, "My spirit will not always strive with man." I mean, God just don't keep contending. God just don't keep pouring out mercy and mercy and mercy and mercy. I know Lamentations 3:22-23, His mercies are renewed every day, but there'll come a day when there won't be no mercy. It's over with. That day comes to many a man and woman's life when they die and they go out into eternity without God. That day of mercy is gone now. It can't be recalled. Ephesians 5:16 says, "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." You better take advantage of every day that you have to live and serve for the Lord Jesus Christ. Corrie Ten Boom, she tried to warn the church. She tried to warn the church. "You're going through great tribulation," but they cast her off. She knew what it meant to be in those prison camps in Germany under Hitler. She said, "God, let them be put in these camps. The fleas were so bad. The soldiers would not go in there and bother them." That's how they had Bible studies. They could study the Word of God because there were so many fleas, such pestilence in the camps that the soldiers stayed away from them. But it allowed them to hear the gospel, to pray, to seek God. That's persecution, folks. That's persecution. I had a dear brother, God bless his heart, wrote me a letter this past week. Some of you listening to me, you don't realize how much God has blessed you and been good to you. You know what his prayer request in his letter was? Pray that God will get rid of the bed bugs in my mattress. Pray God get rid of the bed bugs in my mattress. I wept. I was so broken. I don't know how old the man is or his situation, but there is so much that's taking place, and God has warned me and warned me and warned me. Don't you ever abandon my old people. Don't you ever abandon my old people. People say, well, you got to start doing this and you got to start doing that. We are trying to get the gospel out in many other ways. Rick Wiles is going to make his debut at the National Broadcasters Radio Convention in Nashville next week. I'll be there. Colonel Thomas Duncan and his wife Claudia has allowed my wife to come and stay with them and go to the conference there in Nashville to see what we need to grow to disseminate this kind of preaching out here to a lost and dying world. But some of you listening to me, you are blessed. You are so blessed, and you take everything for granted, but you go to bed every night and there's not one bed bug in your bed. You have clean water, clean clothes. We don't talk about what we do here. We don't brag, but we tithe on the ministry. Now, I don't know of any ministries that are out there that I know actually tithe on every dime that comes in. I'm not talking a portion. We tithe on not only our personal income, but the ministry income. And we buy Bibles. We do things. We help people. We help old folks. I had a couple wrote me and that they were going to condemn their mobile home because it had too many deficiencies. And I sent the brother a check to help him get his mobile home up to par so they didn't throw him out in the streets. We do all sorts of things here that we never mention. It's not important that we talk about what we do, and we don't use those means to raise money. We don't do that. We don't show swollen bellies or talk about children. We just give, because if you got the Spirit of Christ in your life, you receive the Spirit of giving. You receive the Spirit of giving. God is trying to stir, and I believe God is going to do some great things this year. I really believe that with all of my heart. I believe that more than ever before. Something changed in the spiritual realm this past September. Something, a switch, something was flipped. We didn't see a outward manifestation like 2001 or 2008, but something switched, something flipped, something happened. And I believe it's both good and evil. God's going to allow both in the earth at the same time. Just like on the day of Pentecost, God poured out of his Spirit. Thousands were saved. 3,000 souls got saved that day. But great persecution came upon the church, and they were driven from Jerusalem into Samaria and Judea and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He said in Acts 1 and 8, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. They didn't know that God was going to use persecution to drive them out of Jerusalem. It's funny. In the canonicity, when they canonized the scriptures, that's Acts 1 and 8. But Acts 8 and 1 says, and because great persecution came upon the church, they took the gospel into Samaria and into Judea, but the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. Listen, God's going to get the message out. He's going to get the message out. He's raising up preachers right now that are not going to compromise. They're willing to put their lives on the line for the souls of men. They love not their lives even unto the death. They don't care about their lives. All they care is about the souls of men. That's the difference in these two-timing hypocrite preachers. Remember what the Bible said in Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. They didn't care about their lives. Paul, Acts 20:22, I love that passage. I quote it so often. Behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bond and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me, neither do I count my life dear unto myself. Paul did not love his life. He loved not his life so that he might die for Jesus Christ. But you won't hear many preachers willing to die for Christ today. No, sir. No, sir. We don't even pray for our brothers and sisters. We don't even pray for those who are overseas in prison camps and in North Korea, Russia, China, these that are in prison camps that are suffering. Do we pray for them? Do we cry out for them in their behalf? Hebrews 13:3, remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being ourselves also in the body. Paul said, remember them that are in bonds, as though you're bound with them. All I can do is pray for them. I don't have the means, the method to get into North Korea and get them out of those prison camps, but I can pray for them. You can pray for them. God can get a Holy Ghost revival started over there. Don't say how. God can do anything. But we got to pray. We got to fast. When people start fasting and praying, I want you to listen to me today, please. Listen to the preachers. Listen to how many calls the people to prayer and fasting. Maybe one in a thousand. Maybe one in a thousand calls the listeners and the viewers to prayer and fasting because they're not interested in praying. They're not interested in fasting. They're interested in money. That's all they care about. If they really had faith in God, they wouldn't worry about that. God will take care of that. I mean, God told Peter, go down there and catch that fish. There's a gold coin in his mouth to pay for your taxes and my taxes. You think God's worried about money? And I hear all these hucksters, well, there's something special about writing a $1,000 check. It's just something special about a $1,000 check. Yeah, I reckon it is to you, because if you can get 300 people to write you that, you just took in $300,000, sir. Yeah, but do you give that kind of tithe away to the work of God? This whole thing is so skewed because where is your vision? Where is your vision? Are you wanting to see people saved? Are you wanting to see people redeemed? See, Proverbs 11:30, he that winneth souls is wise. I prayed, God, make me a soul winner. God, make me a John the Baptist. Somebody said, you better be careful. He was beheaded. I want to win souls. I want to win souls for Jesus. I want God to sweep over this nation. I want God to sweep over this nation. I want you to go to your state capitol with Franklin Graham and pray. Yeah, I've got criticism for that too. I get criticized for everything. I can't win for losing. I don't care what I say, I get criticized. I can't do nothing right according to some people. But they're nothing but hypocrites. And cheats and liars and purveyors of discord. And they call themselves men of God. They're not men of God. They're charlatans. They're pretenders. They don't care about souls. How much do they preach about repentance, getting saved, getting washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? If you gain the whole world, Jesus said, and you lose your soul, what has it profited you? Nothing, nothing, nothing. Lazarus died. Lazarus died. Where did he go? He went into Abraham's bosom. The Bible said that Lazarus laid at a gate full of sores, designed to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. The rich man, though. Let me tell you about rich people. They're covetous. Not all of them. Not all of them. But the most of them are covetous. They want more. The rich man, though, the Bible said he was clothed in purple and fine linen. And he fared sumptuously. How often? Every day, the Bible said the man fared sumptuously. Every day of his life was a day of sumptuous living. I mean, this man lived the life of Riley. This man had it all. He was living in the personification of luxuriously. I mean, he had it all. He had it all. The goodly, sumptuous, magnificence, gorgeous of everything. Lazarus, he was a beggar. He laid at the rich man's gate, full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs. In other words, just give me the crumbs. I remember the first time I was taken to a sumptuous restaurant by a very wealthy man, and the waiter came over there with a little brush and a little plate, and he brushed the crumbs, the breadcrumbs off the table onto this little plate. I'd never seen nobody do that because I hadn't been to that kind of a restaurant before. I'm a country boy. I did learn enough etiquette in school. Start with your utensils from the outside and you work in. You take the utensils on your left side and right side and you work inwardly as you get brought salads, etc., till you get to the meal, the entree, etc. But I had been in a restaurant where they took a little brush and swept up the crumbs. But this beggar man named Lazarus, he just desired to be fed the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And it said the dogs, they came and licked his sores. The Bible said the day came when Lazarus, the beggar, well, he died. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died, and well, he was buried. The Bible said, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus. He knew Lazarus. Why? Because Lazarus begged for just the crumbs from his table. He begged for the crumbs. And he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Hell was burning. The flames were licking his soul and his spirit. Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf, a great abyss that's fixed. So they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from where you are, buddy. You can't get here now. Mercy is gone. It's over with. I believe with all of my heart. I believe this with all of my heart. I believe God gave that man so many times to repent of his sins and get right with God. But you see, rich people don't think they need God. They feel like, well, I can buy it. You can buy a lot of things with money, but you can't buy redemption. I said you cannot buy redemption. You cannot buy the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. Why don't men preach the shed blood and redemption today? It's not popular preaching. Just preach to me good stuff. Just make me feel good. Don't tell me there's a place called hell. And if I don't forsake my sins, that's where I'm going to spend eternity. Don't tell me things like that. Tell me the good things of God. I can't afford to lie to you. I can't afford to misrepresent the truth to you. I've got to tell you the truth. Because one day I'm going to stand before God myself and I'm going to give an account of these sermons. And all of these preachers, God forbid, these preachers that have audiences that are in the millions, and they preach all this good stuff. Like the guy that emailed me the other day said, I found it amazing. I was flipping across the channel, and there was Joey Osteen preaching on acceleration. God's going to accelerate the blessings. He said, but the word the Lord gave you was acceleration, that evil would accelerate. Famine of the word would accelerate. Sin would accelerate. He took the same word and turned it around for blessing, 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 blessing. Well, let me ask you today, who do you believe telling the truth? Because Jesus said, what would it profit you if you gained the whole world and yet you lost your soul? What's it going to profit you? Nothing. Nothing. The rich man in hell had it all. But in hell he had nothing, not even a drop of water. Lazarus had nothing on this side of eternity, but he had Jesus. And when he died, he went to paradise, and he was comforted. He was comforted. You see, right now you may be struggling financially. You may have some pains and some ailments and some anomalies and some aberrations and sickness and affliction in your body. But when you die, your spirit and your soul gets freed from that body. And there's no more pain. There's no more toil. But the people who die in sin, oh, their pain and their toil just begins. Think about it. Right now, sinners are not burning in hell that are alive. And they grumble about this and they grumble about that. But once they die, they're not worried about the paycheck they were making. They're not worried about the car they had or did not have or the mansion they had or did not have. They're worried about their soul. But it was too late. It's too late. The rich man in hell lifted up his eyes and said, send Lazarus. I'm tormented. And the sad thing is the torment never stops. It never stops. It's for all eternity. You see, we may look like fools on this side of eternity right now. We may look like fools as we serve the Lord. We may look like fools, but we'll be wise for all eternity because we made the right choice. I'll be 61 years old a week from Sunday. Nope, excuse me, I'll be 61 years old Sunday. Am I ever grasping the reality of mortality? I have concluded I may die before the Lord returns. I've accepted that fact already. God has laid on my heart 3 years ago to get everything arranged so I can devote the last of my years I have to preaching the gospel of Christ. This conference in Dallas, Fort Worth, this March 18th, 19th, and 20th, I pray you come. I pray that you were not poisoned by all the lies and all the hypocrisy and all the discord and all the dissension, that you will come and the Holy Ghost will pour oil and wine into your spirit. I just broke an extended fast. There were many others fasting and praying with me, many fasting and praying for the conference. Oh, there were those who were slandering and accusing. They weren't praying. They weren't fasting. God forbid you listen to those people. Don't listen to a liar. Don't listen to an accuser. Don't listen to a slanderer. Listen to the truth. I believe God. I know there's going to be some godly people going to be at that meeting. I've got two special people. Patrick and Evelyn Cusack are going to be there with me and many others. But I've made it a point to make sure they're on the front or second row of seats with me. Why? Because come Sunday morning, after I minister the Word of God, I don't know how the Holy Ghost is going to move. But I want godly people there that's full of the Holy Ghost. If God wants to bring deliverance from alcohol, drugs, pornography, whatever the sin might be, a broken home, a broken marriage, a broken relationship, that the Holy Ghost can mend that and fix that and make it well again. I don't care about this other stuff. I care about your soul. I care about you making it. I want to bring you in with me. I want to bring multitudes in with me. I want to launch out into the deep and bring in all the fish. He said, I will make you fisher of men's souls, not of literal fish, but of men. Peter, he said, I'll make you a fisherman of men's souls. That's what my goal is. Don't be derailed. Don't get off track. The devil will use any and everything he can to get you off track. He's done it for years. He'll do it to the end. And the sad thing is he uses so-called people who call themselves Christians to get you sidetracked. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll pick this message up. Where is your vision, my friend? It needs to be in Jesus.
Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.